evening, and welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Neither secure nor free, unconstitutional, the war on our civil liberties with director-producer Robert Greenwald. Unconstitutional, the war on our civil liberties is the third in a series of public interest picture films that follows unprecedented the 2000 election and uncovered the war on Iraq. True to their legacy, Unconstitutional provides the facts and stories that illuminate a misleading administration, wrong-headed policies, and the real victims of these actions, we, the people. And now, Unconstitutional.
This legislation is essential not only to pursuing and punishing terrorists, but also preventing more atrocities.
February 22nd, I got a phone call about 7 o'clock in the morning from my uncle saying that that about 12 to 15 federal agents just came into my parents' house, picked up my mom, my dad, and my sister.
A girl sat down next to me, and I said, George Bush is out of control. But I would guess probably 30 minutes later, and I looked over my shoulder, and there were four Santa Fe police officers standing behind me.
We have to ask ourselves, is this the most effective use of law enforcement power?
Nearly 1,000 individuals.
He swept broadly, he swept blindly, until the number was over 1,000, and people started asking questions. They said, how many of these 1,000 people have been charged with the crimes of September 11th? And the answer was zero.
I know my dad fought so hard to come to the country for freedom, and then, you know, 10 years later, we find out that, you know, the country that we came here to save us is actually doing the same to us.
You had the Justice Department itself criticizing the actions and the policies.
These are critical issues. This is what we're fighting for. These are our civil liberties.
On the walls we'd sing another drink with Billy Idol. Have sloppy sex on the living room floor. But we're in a sample pleasure principle. Principles are
yours. Robert Greenwald, you have helped usher in a period where a credited and credentialized filmmaker such as yourself has made available to all grassroots groups and organizations some very, very powerful films for organizing purposes against a period of war and repression. And tell us about the newest of your trilogy as part of that, Unconstitutional, The War on Our Civil Liberties.
Unconstitutional, which follows Unprecedented and Uncovered, deals with exactly what it says in the title, Civil Liberties. Directed by Nani de la Peña, this is a film that myself and my partners in Public Interest Pictures all felt very strongly about from the beginning, which was trying to do something that pulls together the various pieces of information, the things we know a little bit here, a little bit there, and puts it in one film, if you will, so that we can really see the erosion of our civil liberties and that there are many, many people, by the way, conservatives and liberals, fighting back on this issue because civil liberties is an issue that affects all of us. It doesn't matter who you vote for. If your civil liberties are affected, they are affected.
Can you give us a sort of taste of some of the subjects that you really go into, some of the people that are interviewed in Unconstitutional?
What we've tried to do with Unconstitutional, and, you know, tragically it's not been difficult, is span the spectrum from some of the American Muslim families whose lives have been pulled apart, in some cases destroyed, in some cases relatives deported, to the college student who gets a knock on the door saying, what's going on? We understand you have a poster on your wall that's inflammatory or threatening, to the infamous efforts at the libraries to have lists of people checking out which books. It's a threat and a concern that, again, spans all ages and all backgrounds. And I think very importantly, one of the biggest things that we all need to be concerned about is this kind of inefficient, stereotyping results really in increased danger to ourselves. In other words, the general attack is, oh, bleeding heart liberals, we have to give up some of our civil liberties to be safer. Well, first of all, that's a debate that needs to be had, if it's going to be had. But my contention, and I feel very strongly about this, and I think the film illustrates this, these policies make us less safe. Would you say, how is that possible? Well, here it's less possible. Number one, rounding up all of these useless pieces of information by stereotyping overloads the system. And we've seen now in investigation after 9/11 that when the system gets overloaded, the key pieces of information then don't come to the surface, number one. Number two, in doing this and going to every mosque and in communities around the country, we alienate potentially people who we need to support us in going after the real bad guys. And then thirdly, when you're doing all of this activity and all of this useless information and all of this rounding up of innocent people, what happens is people say, oh, yeah, something's being done. But in fact, what's happened is there's attention on the innocent, and the people who are responsible for all of this are not being pursued in a focused, appropriate fashion.
You have indeed done a splendid job in capturing, if you will, people like Kathy Culleton from the Mexican-American Legal Defense Fund and Anthony Romero from the ACLU and Barbara Oshansky from the Center for Constitutional Rights, and bringing up the Korematsu case in terms of the internment of Japanese Americans. It's a real splendid articulation of people who in the legal and other communities have been in the forefront of fighting for civil liberties. I'm interested in the role of agitprop, because that's how I really affectionately label this, and perhaps a new era where we're able to have progressive films and films that are critical of the status quo that get an enormous airing, which had not previously been the case. The methodology that's used of a distribution through the internet, is it true as you see it that this is really a new era that's creating an opportunity for progressive people on the cultural front to influence the mass society?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a very smart question, and there's no question about it. I mean, you know, we've had this perfect storm come together, which is at the very same time that we have these incredibly complicated issues that we as a culture are struggling with, we as a society. We also have a primary media, not you guys at BAI, thank goodness, that's focused on 30-second sound bites. Well, we can't hope to explore issues from civil liberties to terrorism to job outsourcing to healthcare in 30-second soundbites. But people still crave that information. Well, at the same time that this is happening, we have the internet, and we have this great breakthrough in filmmaking with low budget of availability. You know, you can use literally, you use your family video camera, and you can edit it on a computer, and you can get a film out there.
I'm just wondering about the, not so much the film, although certainly the film and the way it brings together different parts of the infringements of civil liberties that we've known about over the last 2 years, but also the society that the film is going to be impacting on in the current election debate. I just haven't seen that much or anything within the current election debate, even though people are very concerned about infringements of civil liberties on that issue from either camp. And what effect do you hope to have on the debate with this film, Unconstitutional?
Well, what I hope to have with Unconstitutional, as well as, you know, Uncovered, Unprecedented, and Outfoxed in a more tangential fashion, is to raise the issues that, again, maybe are not being raised. But fortunately, we make a film like Unconstitutional with the support and help of Anthony Romero and the ACLU, you know, just getting it done, getting it out, having screenings. I mean, the ACLU is doing screenings all over the country, as well as other civil liberties groups. So, again, if there is a group, there's an organization that, as you were saying earlier, a grassroots that is focused on this issue, suddenly here's a great tool. You have a screening in your living room, in your church, at your club, wherever it is. You get people together, and the issue becomes discussed. And that is able to then utilize, whether it's a specific organizing campaign or a general awareness, but then it percolates up. Because, look, we know where change comes from. Change always comes from the grassroots and then works its way up, whether it's the Vietnam War or the women's movement or the you know, movement for integration, all of that. And I think it's very similar here, only now we have these amazing tools of being able to make these films and easily and quickly get them around the country. You know, they're starting this next week. There'll be screenings all over the country, and then this wonderful distributor, Cinema Libre, who's distributing Uncovered and Outfoxed in the movie theaters, we're also going to put together Unprecedented and Unconstitutional in some select cities where it'll be running for week runs in movie theaters. So suddenly you have it on the internet, you'll have it in video stores where you can go in and buy it, you'll have it in theaters, and you begin to really get the word out there.
You know, the actualization of the effect of these films was at the mass rally that was recently held against the war in the Republican National Convention in New York, and Jeremy Glick, who was in Outfoxed, was a marshal. And I've never seen a marshal or a peacekeeper in a demonstration take on such superstar status as people recognized him. And to cap that off, as the demonstration was rounding a critical corner in New York to 34th Street, there's a huge promotional advertisement for Fox News, and there was a resounding boo that rippled through the ranks, which was very much a tribute to clearly people who have seen Outfoxed and been very moved by that, and I just thought that was something you should know.
Thank you. Well, I was in New York, and I saw Jeremy once or twice, but we also, Code Pink, organized this wonderful shut-up-a-thon in front of Fox News, too, which, you know, I think grew out of that section in the film with O'Reilly saying he doesn't tell anyone to shut up, and then there he goes telling everyone to shut up. So, you know, these, again, yes, it's a good example of how these films can far exceed at least my expectations going in the sense of they really become tools, they really become elements. And what I'm most pleased of with each film, I've learned more in terms of how to make it a more useful tool. And so with Outfoxed, if you go to our website, outfoxed.org, there are 10 or 12 different media reform organizations you can go with. So that film was conceived from the beginning to be part of the people working for change. And similarly with Unconstitutional, with ACLU as our partner and all these other great civil liberties groups around the country, it's meant to be watched, it's meant that you can get information, but it's also, hopefully, people will get up and get out and do something as a result of seeing the film. And to me, that's the most exciting thing of all.
Actually, what have you learned with the progression of these films about how to make them more, shall we say, palatable or enhancing in such a way that people really pick them up and use them as organizing tools?
Well, I think there have been several lessons for me. One of them, I think instinctively I was able to capture early on, which is there is sometimes a tendency on our side for either the sky is falling or, as my grandmother would call it, the oy vey, poor me syndrome. And I felt it was really important with these films not just to do a litany of horrors or what these big bad guys are doing, but also make sure there's a clear element of them, when it's accurate, and I believe it is, of what we're doing on our side, where we're being effective, and the possibilities for creating change. So it's not just leaving the theater and slitting your wrists. And I think in Joan and Richard's Unprecedented, we were able to get that at the ending, and certainly with Uncovered when we talked about patriotism, and then in the ending of Outfoxed by Design, where we say get up and do something, and at the end of Unconstitutional, where it's clear that communities all across the country are getting up and standing up. So that's one element. But then on a more specific sort of organizing element, I think with each film I've further understood and been able to work further to integrate the groups that are on the ground doing it. Because when all is said and done, they were there before and they'll be there afterwards, and they're critical that they get our support and encouragement. So, you know, again, without Fox, we got all kinds of media reform groups involved with very different agendas. You know, some who want to go to D.C. and with Bob McChesney, you know, work on FCC issues, and some who are doing low-powered, you know, radio stations in their community and everything in between, including the great work of FAIR and David Brock and media monitoring. And I'm very hopeful with civil liberties it will be similar. I mean, obviously, we have the extraordinary work that the ACLU is doing, and the director, Anthony Romero, you know, has really been groundbreaking in what he's been doing. And there are lots of other good and important groups out there who we interview in the movie, who will be available and using the film so that they know about it from the beginning. We make it available to them. They do screenings or fundraisers or awareness things. And it's, I think, one of the more exciting tools for reaching both the people who are already interested as well as lots of new people. Because remember, even though I'm a reader, you know, film is the extraordinary medium for reaching most of this generation.
Well, I think it's time that we played a clip from the film itself. Robert, do you have a clip that you have in mind that might be good in terms of giving our audience an overview or a particular notion of the film Unconstitutional?
Boy, that's a hard one. So many good pieces. I think there's the section when we interview the Olympic rower who talks about what has happened to him as he gets, this is a man representing our country in the Olympics, and how he gets stopped at airports and things, and how that's kind of affected his point of view about all of this is one clip.
Well, we're going to hear those right now.
This George Washington University graduate is a rowing champion. He's the first African-American to win the U.S. Nationals, and he's the first to win an international competition. He travels the world competing for the United States.
My name is Akil Abdullah, and it's a Muslim name. My full name is Akil Hashim Abdullah. Akil means intelligent. Hashim means destroyer of evil, and Abdullah means follower of God.
He considers himself a Catholic, like his mother, but he was given a name that reflects his father's faith.
Since 9/11, travel for me has been somewhat interesting. I was stopped for the first time at the airport in Philadelphia. They call over the airport police. It took about 2 hours and 45 minutes. It somewhat disturbed me, but at the same time, I felt as though, well, maybe this is a good thing. We need to have something in place that protects people. But then it happened to me again, and I wound up missing my flight.
Like most Americans, Akil was willing to accept added airport security measures. But why was it happening again and again? How could he clear his name?
I want to represent my country in every way. But once you're on the plane, you feel as though people are still looking at you as a possible threat.
It turned out his name had been put on a special list. This was happening all over the U.S. in a seemingly arbitrary fashion. David Lindorf broke the no-fly story in Salon magazine.
You don't get a lot of confidence that the Transportation Security Administration's list is really doing anything to make us any safer, especially when you see some of the ridiculous things that they're doing.
The government has now decided everyone will get a terrorism risk assessment. But who is going to sort through the data of the millions of Americans who fly, and what will be the criteria used to decide who poses a risk? Besides overloading law enforcement with useless information, these techniques reinforce the feeling that no one has a real plan for catching terrorists and that everyone is a suspect. The end result is a country of Americans ratting on each other, turning each other in, calling the police.
Let me also ask you this. You certainly have a long group of credits of television projects that we should say maybe left liberal messages, Hiroshima and the Crooked E, the unshredded truth about Enron, etc. But these films, the trilogy that you've been dealing with, Unprecedented, Uncovered, Unconstitutional, take on the system in a way that we have been told by Mr. Ashcroft were either with you or against you, so to speak. Have you suffered any kind of negative consequences or come under any scrutiny yourself as a result of tilting against the status quo, shall we say?
Well, the fact that I can't get my phones to work properly is very incidental and an accident.
We won't get conspiratorial.
It's hard to, I mean, specifically, the threats and whatever have been far less than when I was doing the work with Mike Farrell in the build-up to war. I mean, then we were getting the phone calls and the faxes and the emails. Recently, I consider it all within the sort of acceptable grain of if you're going to take a position, you should be prepared for some consequences. So the fact that Bill O'Reilly has called me a smear merchant, I actually consider a great honor. And far exceeds any of the Emmy nominations that I've received in terms of, on the list of great tributes that I've had. But the calling of names, the trying to demonize, I mean, that's the tactic that unfortunately is used all too often by the conservatives, some of the conservatives in the right wing. And of course, we see it in Fox News. I have a whole section called character assassination, and that's what they do over and over again, rather than dealing with the substance of the issues. Look, I like a good fight about the substance of the issues, and I think that's great to have disagreements about. I really do. I don't expect everybody to agree with me. But it's tragic in a way that it is so degenerated, and I'm afraid to say, I think this really does, I'm not afraid to say, I think it's sad, but this seems to primarily come from the right wing, which is go after the messenger, not the message. What we saw with that Fox News first started attacking some of the former Fox News employees, but not what they were saying, but it was, she's a co-producer, not an executive producer, that kind of meaningful stuff. Then calling me names rather than responding to the basic argument, which is they're a partisan network. And I'm sure we'll see the same thing with the Civil Liberties film. They'll attack me, maybe they'll attack Nani, who's the director, or my partners in Public Interest Pictures, or this ACLU saying, why are you doing this? It's just partisan. Well, it's not partisan, and let's talk about the specifics. What about the issues of civil liberties? What are the things we're giving up? Why are we giving them up? And what are we doing to make ourselves safer? I think that's a legitimate question. What are we doing to make ourselves safer? And I think progressives and liberals need to struggle with it. But it's damn sure, going in and just arresting people randomly or stereotyping is not going to make us safer.
You've done Unprecedented, Uncovered, Unconstitutional, Outfoxed. What's next? Is it going to be an un or an out, or is it going to be...
Well, my partner Earl Katz was the one who came up with the notion of doing the un things, and I think obviously between now and the next few months there are just these incredible opportunities for getting the films out into the world. So this coming week I'll be going to Austin and then New York and then France for a day. And Austin is Unconstitutional. New York will be Unconstitutional. France will be Uncovered. And then flying to Portland, where the punk voters are screening Outfoxed. So there's a lot of
unpunked.
Yes, there's a lot of opportunities just to help get these films into the world, because they're getting such a great response. So many different organizations. So my plan is to spend the next couple of months just doing that, and then take a deep breath and try to figure out what is the next films to do, because I love doing documentaries and want to continue doing them. And hopefully with the support of the listeners and the people who go to our websites and buy the films, we'll be able to continue doing.
There's another thing that I was interested in. You take wonderful people like Noni de la Peña, who wrote and produced and directed Unconstitutional, and Richard Ray Perez and Joan Sekla, who were involved in Unprecedented, the 2000 presidential elections. How do you hook up with, how do you find such a wonderful, broad, diverse group of people to immerse themselves? I guess Greenwald Productions now really is become a movement as much as one talented individual who is got a social consciousness.
Well, with Richard and Joan, it was easy because they came to me. They had these shopping bags with videotapes. They were using frequent flyer miles and flying to Florida. And they said to me, no one's done a documentary about the Florida election. I said, that's impossible. There must be 50 of them. And, they were absolutely right. So they actually, in a way, are responsible for getting me involved in documentaries, because while I'd done 50-some-odd other films, I'd never done a documentary before. But I so love the process of working on Unprecedented that the next time I had an idea for a political film, it was Uncovered, and I conceived of it right from the beginning as a documentary. Similarly with Outfox, with Nani, we had had the idea to do Unconstitutional, and in talking with my various partners, Earl Katz and Dan Raskoff, Marcus Barron, March DeBankin, we kind of were looking around for who we thought might be the best director we could hire for that. And after going through various candidates, we felt Nani's work was very strong, powerful, and could get the right combination that I was looking for, which was the intellectual, the emotional, and the political, to bring it all together. And, she's been a terrific collaborator and incredibly hardworking in making this film.
you've brought it all together, and you've certainly provided a catalyst and a wonderful working tool for people who are insistent on working towards a more humane world and real social justice in this society. So, Robert Greenwald, we thank you for your energies.
Well, thank you, and for everything you're doing. And again, I was brought up on BAI, so this is such a pleasure to be talking with you.
Thank you, and to bring it all together, the website for Unconstitutional.
www.unconstitutionalthemovie.org.
One more clip.
And there's also a very good clip with one of the librarians who talks about what that's meant to her work.
Attorney General Ashcroft accused librarians of being hysteric about the Patriot Act. And when you understand all the libraries in the country that had been visited by FBI agents wanting information, I don't think that their response was hysteric at all. The FBI or somebody can subpoena what we don't have. Lots of libraries across the country are shredding their records just as we are. The second thing we did was to post warning signs alerting our patrons to the fact that we were no longer going to be able to protect their constitutional right to privacy. Most people really believe that public libraries are sacred institutions where what they go in and read is nobody's business but their own.
Non-compliance has become a watchword as communities across America fight back against the destruction of civil liberties.
The oath of office as a city council person is to defend and uphold the Constitution against all enemies, domestic and foreign. And it's time to take back the government from an executive branch that is running berserk.
Dave Meserve sponsored a resolution making Arcata, California, a civil liberties safe zone from the Patriot Act.
What we need to do is band together in states, in municipalities, and say, not in our town, you don't enforce these unconstitutional laws.
You can say to yourself, well, it's not going to affect me. I don't have any political dissident views. It's not going to affect me. I'm not an immigrant. It's not going to affect me. I'm not going to be investigated by the state or the police. It's not going to affect me. I'm not going to be a subject to any searches or seizures. Throughout our histories, that sort of philosophy has not really made America move forward. It has held America back. With that philosophy, certain people would be interned. Oh God, certain people are about to become interned.
Now, four states and more than 300 municipalities in passing resolutions against the Patriot Act.
Motion carries unanimously.
And you were listening to Unconstitutional, The War on Our Civil Liberties with director-producer Robert Greenwald. And you're listening to Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
And to find out more about Building Bridges, you can go to our website at www.buildingbridgesonline.org. That's www.buildingbridgesonline.org.